All
I
right.
want to know what ridiculous thing you found that has dissuaded you from this recommendation.
No. It made me want to watch it more. And
I'm Jara Phillips. I'm the one that won't shut up. And yeah, you can't make me, okay?
And I'm Nico Harlekenden. I'm the one who took notes, lit them on fire, and then started a completely separate new project instead.
And welcome to BAM! Now you know everything!
Welcome to BAM! Now You Know Everything. This is the podcast where J.R. Phillips and I, Nico Harlekenden, flirt with the weird, poke the sacred, and maybe, just maybe, create some cool things sometimes. Thanks for joining us today, guys. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Hellier, which we promoted in our last episode. We're also going to talk about alien abductions. The stories we tell ourselves about aliens. And but before we get there, we have a couple of things to plug. JR, what do you have to plug?
All right. We have Indie Creator Collective's first volume coming at you. I've been locked in the formatting dungeon for the last, week. Has it only been a week? Has it been a week? Has it even been that long? I don't know.
Eternity.
You know, it just you just lose track of time when there's no windows around you and you're just typing. But I've been formatting this book. It's coming out. We have some amazing authors. Nico is one of them. She has episodic tale in there, which is very enticing. It may leave you a little bit on the cliff, but don't worry. We've got plans for it. It's coming. We're going to be ordering the proof copies hopefully next week so that I can have them in my hand and I can flip through the pages and I can cry. I know I'm going to cry, you know.
I can't wait till you cry.
Yeah. You love seeing me cry. It's okay.
Because you never do. So I eat it up. I love being emotional. Okay. It also tells me that you're human. Okay. I'm also working on something. So real quick plug, if folks are looking for some really cool special editions, we have a Kickstarter going on right now. It is a third of the way funded, over $2,000 of the total $6,000 to get these special edition black page babies with white ink and white illustrations. Yeah. So gorgeous. Foil dual-sided dust jacket. Go check it out. There's a lot of really cool rewards and different tiers for everybody. And I just added a really cool one, which is illustrations with a special art tier. So if you need a cover, if you need a full dust jacket or anything like that, there are 5 limited slots that are at a really good price, really good deal. I have planned availability. So in case it's urgent, bam, we can fulfill it. So don't worry. And let us know what you think. We're about 2/3 of the way to go. And I'm so excited.
I can't believe it. When I checked it, I was like, woo, this thing is on fire because it's so gorgeous. And you know, it's that artwork that you did. And I saw your video today, your TikTok that was talking about, hey, you know, about commissions and that tier that you added for the art. And I'm thinking in my head, maybe I need to see Eresh and Armides come to life a little bit. They're my babies. But then I realized I haven't visited them in a while and I need to. I've been definitely missing that world. And I definitely feel that you and I, or you have helped I kind of grow more into my writing shoes. You know what I mean? I've been writing every day for the time that you and I have been talking, right? Actively putting together pieces publish worthy instead of just I'm in my journal and I got a cute idea. And so I'm really excited, a little daunted, but a little excited to go back and look at it and be in my better writer headspace. Because you only get better, right?
Exactly. Let's lean into this. A new segment we're trying called Confessional. I want to hear a little bit more about this. So what have you been struggling with? What are you looking forward to getting back to your manuscript?
For my confessions for this, I am getting so sucked in to Indie Creator Collective. And I know I'm going to turn around and basically do it all again. I'm going to turn around, get a whole new set of authors, get a whole new prompts going, get a whole new pulse, get a whole new book going out. Because it's a quick turnaround, right? So because I have all that going on, I feel like I haven't done my original goal for the year, which was, you know, getting back to a forged Genesis. So,
love it.
Yeah. So I'm excited to kind of go back with like more experience under my belt, more reading done from authors that are peers rather than reading published work from books that have gone through editors upon editors, have been cut down to size, have been molded, and you read it and it feels so perfect, you know? And then you go read your own first draft.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to blow your brains out because you're just like...
Every single fucking time.
Now that I've read so much from peers and colleagues, and we're creating really amazing things. There's so much talent out there. Like, you just scroll through Substack fiction section for 5 minutes and you're surrounded. So it's been eye-opening and I'm excited, you know, to like take what I learned this year and put it into a forged Genesis, my baby, little baby. Do you have a confession?
If it's about my life, I'll make it short and bittersweet. I had a really dark time this week, earlier this week, and I almost gave up and just let the Kickstarter fizzle.
Well,
special edition.
Oh my gosh. And then if you look at it right now,
I know
it's flying. So is a part of that because expectation in your head or.
Yeah. Something's got to give also. So a lot of competing priorities right now. So what of these projects are more likely to be successful with what effort I have to invest in them. And so I think it's just like a really good reminder to myself and maybe to anyone else who's listening. It's just like, give it a little longer.
Like, yeah.
Just keep with it a little bit longer because it can really turn around.
That's so true. I was just thinking, like, I feel like I'm go through a cycle a week almost. Like, you know, we're riding on a high on Friday nights, right? We're recording, we're doing lives, we're like keeping each other grounded. And then Monday, Tuesday, it's fizzling. It's fizzling. And then when we haven't had a chance to be creative ourselves and we're so focused on making everybody else's creative project around us great.
The production side of things.
Yeah. I don't love this side of things. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm addicted to it in like a toxic way, I feel. Yeah. You know?
Yes. Like, masochistic.
Yeah. Like, I just want to get better and better at it. And like, I just want like, you know, but I'm not a perfectionist. And I feel like
you are a little bit of a perfectionist. I feel like you're a little bit of a perfectionist. Just a little.
I am never
for sure I am. That's not even confessional material.
Okay. I can be a perfectionist in some ways.
Yeah.
But I am never afraid of like, actually, this is a lie. I'm lying to myself. I am afraid of failing. I'm afraid of success. I'm afraid of everything. No. I think what I mean is, like, I know that this first collection, as amazing as it is a baseline, right?
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that the baseline continues to rise, right? And this is kind of the first time I'm feeling like this. You know, in my life.
Baby's growing up.
Oh my God. I literally looked at myself in the mirror today and I was like, you're an adult, dude.
Yeah.
I don't love that. But there's no denying it any longer. There's nothing. I quit my job. I'm business lady. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm like the only person that, you know, like I'm the only person that I can, like, that I'm relying on for my success, right?
Unfucking real.
It's so crazy. I just like snipped my wing. Well, maybe not. I don't want to say that. I didn't quit my wing. I'm going to fly.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Maybe I unlocked the cage, I guess, is a more optimistic way of looking at it. I don't know, but it's something shifted. I felt the shift. Yeah. So, you know, like when you read a bad review for like a smutty book and it's like, this book is just the hand of the devil at my throat, you know, and then you're like, well, maybe I want to read this one. And you like add it to your cart because it's like so salacious and yummy.
Yes.
That's this review for Hellier that I found, because I realized that last time we discussed watching it and I did not do my homework. So I was trying to cliff note something that I could sound intelligent with some quips. But instead, I found this really hilarious review. Hilarious to me, probably super serious to the person that wrote this review. It is a lengthy review. It's a one star review. And as I looked into this, there was a lot of one star reviews. Not just because of the cult and occult of it all. It's also just like people who are skeptical, right?
Yes.
And I get it. Like, I love ghost hunters and I love watching paranormal investigations. And I do believe in the paranormal. But do I believe everybody with a camera is going to have access to this paranormal? No. Do I believe that everybody that's confessing to like have something going on is coming from an honest place? No. We live in a world of charlatans. Look at the president of the United States, right? Like that's, we live in that world. But as I've said many of times, I am an optimist and a skeptic. It's a weird vibe I have in my brain.
I
like it. And so anyway, let me just read this, okay? I won't read it all, but maybe I will read it all. I don't know.
Not me. Okay. But reenact it.
This is from Terry, which is a, what?
Terry?
Is this like...
Just happens to be a name from the, like a very important name in the documentary. So that is so... interesting.
Okay. Well, that makes things a little crazier. Okay, so maybe you'll recognize the vibe
of
this reviewer. I don't know. Like I had no idea. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. Your face.
The sauce thickens. Carry on.
I just spent way too many hours deep diving into the rabbit hole that is Hellier, and I need to talk about what I found, because what's masquerading as a paranormal documentary is actually something far more sinister, a masterclass in occult manipulation disguised as entertainment. The production team behind this series isn't just documenting some ghost hunt in Kentucky. They're running psychological ops on your brain, slowly conditioning you to accept and even invite demonic entities into your life. The scariest part? It's working. The perfect Trojan horse cast. Let's break down their genius casting choices, because each character is specifically designed to be your entry point into their twisted world. Greg Newkirk. I think I'm saying that correct. Okay. Yeah. Your spiritual rebel archetype, former Christian turned occult researcher. He's the guy who gets it, who's moved beyond boring traditional religion into something real. Sound familiar? That's because he's literally you if you've ever questioned your upbringing. Dana Newkirk.
Dana.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Names, they get me every time, guys. It's just what happens.
We're readers.
The modern witch who makes paganism look totally normal and accessible. She's not some crazy cat lady. She's articulate, grounded, the kind of person who could be your yoga instructor. She normalizes ritual magic like it's meditation. Yes. Okay. Connor Randall, two first names, never a good sign for somebody. Never a good sign. True crime people understand. I don't know. Yep. Connor. Anyway, he's a part of this cast, I guess.
He's a lefty.
You know, not to throw shade at us lefties, but not necessarily another great sign. Okay. This is their masterstroke. A practicing Catholic who stays engaged despite his faith. He's the permission slip for the religious viewers. The guy saying, it's okay to explore the darkness. God gave you curiosity for a reason, right? Okay.
I fucking love you, Natchez.
Carl Pfeiffer. I'm assuming the P is silent.
Just like Michelle.
Yeah. Oh. Why did I put those two together? Who knows? Okay. The rational documenter. He's your logical brain saying, I'm just here to observe and record. Sure you are, Carl. Sure you are. I added the second sure you are because I thought it was funny.
It was an interpretation, okay?
Tyler Strand. The atheist adrenaline junkie pushing everyone towards the dangerous stuff.
Wild and crazy guy.
The crazy guy. He's your secular rationalist who doesn't believe in any of the supernatural nonsense. Yet somehow he's always the one saying, let's go to the creepy cave anyway. He's that voice in your head saying, come on, just this once, what's the worst that could happen? See what they did there? You see it? I added that other part. Okay. No matter who you are, there's a character reflecting your exact psychological profile back at you. You're not watching strangers. You're watching yourself. Rehabilitating the devil. Pan's PR makeover. Now, this is the part of the review that really sort of sucked me in, right? Because of Pan, I like the lore of Pan, but I also, Pan's Labyrinth, like that lullaby in that movie haunts you. Okay, anyway. Okay. Here's where it really gets dark. The entire series builds toward normalizing contact with Pan, literally one of the most notorious entities in occult lore. These aren't random researchers stumbling onto something. They know exactly what they're doing. Pan isn't just some nature god who just got a bad rap from uptight Christians. This entity is associated with panic, literally named after him, madness, and primal chaos. Ancient cultures across the globe warned against invoking this force. Even Crowley, who wasn't exactly squeamish about dark magic, treated Pan as a representation of total cosmic destruction and creation. Pure, amoral power. But Hellier? They present him like he's just misunderstood. Oh, those old religions just don't get it. Pan's actually this complex, approachable entity we can totally have a chat with. Bullshit. Five people found this helpful.
Love it.
So that just made me want to watch it because everything in there is interesting to me. I didn't know Pan was going to be involved. So that's like kind of cool.
That's quite the spoiler. But yeah, it's a good journey. It's still a good journey.
Yeah. Also, I live for spoilers. I love spoilers.
I like to
know where I'm going. Okay. And
so you like to know the end before you invest?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Sometimes. So sounds like I'm not the only one. Scoob.
Okay. I don't want to know word for word, like reading the last page of a freaking book. Okay. I want to know in the sense of things of like, is this going to do what I want it to do? Like, or
what's my compass point?
Yeah. Like, cause, okay. I don't like drama. I don't like dramas. Okay. The face Nico is making right now is very incredulous. She's just like,
exactly.
Like, what do you mean? I like reality TV that's trash and surface level. And you can talk about the human of it all, but really it's not like, hey, here's this historically accurate drama about like the Chicago fires, for example.
Oh,
that
boring.
Movie that
yeah.
came out, right?
Did you yeah. It did not. Okay. Not my thing.
Okay. So, yeah, it's not a lot of, I guess it's a lot of people's things. It did really well in the box office. My husband liked it a lot. He likes things like that, like historically accurate representation of like.
What a normie.
I know. I like them in little bits. Like for any movie that's like about the civil rights movement, for example, they love
oh, for sure.
They yeah. love to do that. They do that, right? But sometimes they do it in a way that is not informative anymore. It seems gratuitous. And I mean, I can't speak on behalf of, you know, anybody that lives through that type of thing. But to see it on the big screen in certain ways would just annoy the shit out of me. Like, can we have some cool stories like The Sinners? Okay, I can get behind The Sinners.
Love The Sinners.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but that's just not the historic. I'm not a historical nut in that way. I want to talk about the history, okay, so that you learn it, so we don't keep living in this freaking loop that we find ourselves in every freaking generational cycle, 100 years. We're reliving the same 100 years over and over again. I want to wake up from that. I don't want to watch it on the movies.
Yeah.
You know?
You're gonna love Hellier.
Yeah. I already know I'm gonna love it. I feel bad that I didn't do my homework, but I also, you know, I just couldn't. I was up till 3 a.m. formatting a goddamn book.
Have you heard of a Guadalajara facelift?
No. Okay, let me
the
look
results.
This up. Let me look this up. What is it? How do you spell this? L?
No, Guadalajara.
Oh, I thought you said La Guada. Okay.
Like LaGuardia.
Yeah, LaGuardia. Oh my gosh, it's the first thing that pops up.
Nice, 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 nice. So that has been spoon-fed to my feed.
Oh, this looks very painful. My
but
God.
It's crazy. Yeah, just real quick, these ladies are flying, investing part of their retirement, I assume, into the Mexican economy, injecting those pesos and getting a really effective facelift in return. It's like facelift combo blepharoplasty, like getting that upper and lower eyelid lax skin taken care of.
Well, you know, like people in Hollywood, right, have like been aging in reverse.
Yes.
So like that. Okay.
Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's honestly some dark fucking magic or something.
I love it.
Okay. All right. So in this segment, we're going to be talking about some hot takes and some maybe some hot topics. And because we are women scrolling the internet, what gets spoon-fed to us the most? But nothing other than facelifts and plastic surgery. before we dive into this, because we're both married, right? So my husband hates plastic, everything. Like, he can kind of see it from a mile away, and he's just, and I'm looking at the girl or woman, and I'm like, she looks great. Like, her skin is so, like, where are the pores? Where are they? You know, we all have seen bad ones, but, like, I can't even tell. He can tell. And he's just like, yeah, I don't really like it. And I'm like, don't be just nice to me. Okay. Like, we can both say that somebody's attractive. Like, I, you know, don't go damn. But, like, you know, dude.
We learned.
You know, exactly. But, you know, we got to be honest. And he's, like, very adamant. So, like, how about your partner? Do they have an opinion?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. He went to, like, a Buddhist transcendentalist high school. He's got a different worldview. You know what I'm saying?
I identified as a transcendentalist for a long time.
You are birthday buddies.
I know. It's crazy. Emerson and Thoreau, don't we all go through a phase, you know?
Not me.
I didn't.
Yes.
I loved a few of their poems growing up. Okay, but that makes sense. I don't have a problem any which way. Like, I think if we have the technology to make you feel better about yourself, and it's proven to be safe as eating microplastics, you know, like we're all freaking doing anyway, then it's not my business, you know. Okay, but the algorithm of it all.
Mm-hmm. Also, hard agree.
Like, you're scrolling, and then all of a sudden I have to see this woman with lines all over her face because she's about to get carved up and then injected and then scraped back, and I have to see her be swollen, and it looks horrible and horrifying. But then they look amazing.
Yeah.
So maybe that path, okay, for theories, hot takes, delusional island, that theory that we all have, authors have, anybody that dives into fantasy possibilities. Did we go the tech route or the magic route? What if we just went the necromancy route? Because we have all these, like, doctors with, like, stem cells and skin grafts and, you know.
Yes.
And you're like, sign me up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's just
death, like, death and anti-aging hand in hand.
Yeah. I mean, are you afraid of aging at all? Like, when you think about aging, does it worry you?
I think the thing this is going to be really funny. Maybe this is the confession. So the thing that is really funny that helped me be okay with aging was a lot of people looking at me and asserting that I'm afraid of aging because I look a certain way. And I'm sure I've been afraid. I was more afraid of aging when I was younger, I think, than I am now.
I totally get that.
So not afraid. I'm afraid of losing bone density and stuff like that, like the internal aging that really sneaks up on a person and makes them helpless because it's that control thing, right? Like, I can't take care of myself. Fuck.
Yeah, that. And then you have to rely on, like, people that are good natured enough. And there's so many, like, horror stories about
caretakers
that.
Yeah.
I mean, even in my family, like my great-grand, she died on the toilet in a hospital because the guy took out her oxygen to go to the bathroom. Like,
Jesus.
So I think about stuff like that and I'm just like,
yeah,
just a little uncomfortable.
It fuels anxiety spirals in me, mm-hmm. things like that. So I try not to think about them. But, like, I do things like moisturize my skin. The thing that motivates me the most to prevent, like, anti-aging effects has got to be capitalism. Like, I know my future worth in a corporate landscape relies on how I look.
Yeah. I mean, they say a lot of, like, sociopaths, obviously, work.
There we go.
Work in corporate, right? Corporations, higher ups, right? Because you have to be cutthroat. The thing I don't like is when people are like, aging's a gift. This wrinkle's a gift. Aging is a, you've lived longer than you thought.
What a privilege.
Yeah. To the other depressed people out there, if that works for you, I'm very, more power to you. As a depresso, that doesn't work for me because I'm not thankful. I it's not a gift. It's more just like, hey, I persevered. I don't want you talking about it and I don't want you pointing it out. Okay.
So we have another segment that we want to start, which is like audience interlude, but we don't have a lot of comments from you guys where you can listen to this podcast. So I just want to reiterate, we want to tell you, you can find our podcast wherever most podcasts can be found, like Apple and Spotify, my favorite Spotify. I don't know. Where do you listen to us, Jess?
Spotify. It's the only place. Yeah. I know that they have some controversy right now with like AI or something. I think. Oh. And that might be a topic we dive into. I would love to know other recommendations for, like, because I know some people, Wondery is an app people talk about too for pods. But Spotify is just so easy and they know me, you know?
And they know my taste.
Yeah, they know me. So
cool. Tell us your favorite place to listen to us. Give us a comment there and maybe tell us why we should hate Spotify or whatever else you hate.
Yeah, tell us what you hate. We collect things people hate, and we love to hate together. We're not rage bait, okay? We're hate bait, maybe. Yeah. You know, like, let's commiserate. How many rhymes can I do?
This is why you're a good chanter singer when you're writing situation. Okay. Last thing before we get to aliens. I invite you, Jess, if you have one. If not, I'll cut this. Obscure object of the week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, bizarre, delightful, something that you've really been into or something like that. I don't know. Strange book, weird artifact, because I feel like that's right up our alley.
Boom. I'm trying to think of, like, what's...
Really put you on the spot.
Why don't you go first? Do you have a shrimp? Is it the book you showed?
That fucking book. Yeah.
Okay.
I can if you want.
Yeah, you go first. I have to think.
Okay.
I don't have anything. This...
Favorite hot sauce?
This pen.
Sell me this pen. So this is what I have to talk about today. It's Between Two Fires by Christopher Beelman, I'm going to guess. An epic tale of medieval horror. A brutal knight offered one final chance at salvation. A troubled priest, last survivor of his parish. A young girl, orphaned by the Black Death. There you go, Jess.
Thank you.
Obeying the commands of angels, both terrible and beautiful. And that is what caught my attention. I can't wait to dive into this. I'm going to read this weekend. This is also an indie published book, which I think... is so great to see it doing so well and being recommended by so many people. I hear it's written extremely well.
I love that. There's too many people that like hate on indie books. You know, it's like a low hanging fruit to like kind of hate on stuff like that. Not necessarily
like we just asked for things that people.
Yeah. Hey, we can hate what you hate. We can hate that you hate that thing and not hate it. Okay. Well, I'm also obsessively defiant. I don't really have an object or anything that is strange because I've been living in this atmosphere of strange, this dungeon. I do have a rock collection. So I have a lot of rocks that I could show you guys right now, like the person I am.
I used to have a rock collection when I was younger.
What did you?
I got kicked out of my house at 18. So
so they're
no past possessions.
So they're all lost.
lost to the annals of time.
That's horrible. Horrible.
That's okay. There are more rocks out there. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I guess.
Cool. Here's a cool. Okay, so were you a rock nerd when you were younger too, or just now in adulthood?
I had a rock tumbler. I had my dad is a geotechnical engineer, so we would go break rocks and like look geodes. For geodes. Yeah, there's no geodes in Florida. Spoiler alert. Because there's no freaking mountains here. There's like a couple caverns and stuff, but everything's mostly limestone. So rock hunting down here sucks.
Sounds pretty boring.
It's like, here's some sandstone, here's some limestone, here's some, maybe some slate, you know, but nothing like, nothing secret and cool.
Yeah.
Maybe coral, but.
Not for long.
Bring it way dark.
Sorry.
I had... So...
there's this... So rock collections and an interest in geology is a trait that I shared with, like, many friends in childhood and all the way up through high school. Doesn't strike you as the type to get kicked out of my house. But so I always remember about rock collections when my friends, his name was Peter, also a Taurus son though. He would always tell the same hackneyed joke over and over again. And it had to do with like sharing a rock specimen, like his favorite rock specimen, and then saying, "Nice cleavage."
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I took geology in college too. And like you had to like look at the different things. Part of what's bad about me is I would take classes I already knew a lot about. Right. But did that make me want to dive deeper and become a master? No, it allowed me to float along the river and get A's or B's, and I was fine because I knew. But I really didn't like, even though I was so interested in it, I didn't allow myself to work at school for whatever reason. It just like didn't sit with me. I wish I could go back if I was rich and could afford classes, like go back and like, take a geology class again or take a environmental science class again. Earth science, I loved that, those classes, but I didn't apply myself outside of them. So I didn't learn as much as I could have, you know?
Yeah. I get it.
The rock geek gets kicked out of her home for bringing home one too many geodes.
That was it.
Yep. I can't take it anymore. So the rock tumbler's in the basement.
That's so cool.
You'd hear it, Bo. So basement, main floor, upper floor where we're all sleeping and traveling through the house because like it was a half finished basement, right? So you got the carpeted area, the play zone, but in the back area is just a slab of concrete, you know, some insulation, some whatever the tinfoil looking shit is. Yeah. The home gym that no one used. Maybe my dad did like every now and then, you know. And the rock tumbler. And I remember distinctly my mom just one morning being like, "It cannot happen at night anymore. I'm going to lose my mind." We tried it in the garage, worse, obviously, echoing forever.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be at night because it took 12 hours. So I wanted to wake up to shiny rocks. I didn't want to wake up and start it and then get to see them right before bed.
You were a precious little goblin even at that tender age.
My mom paid me $20 to go pick up rocks around the yard and put them in a bucket, fill a bucket of rocks because she didn't like it in the yard anymore.
Oh,
They weren't cool. They weren't cool rocks, but I got $20. So
legit. You could buy a cool rock.
Not anymore. Have you seen rock prices?
Actually, so one of the things that I've been watching on TikTok lives are these folks, teams of people swapping in and out, running all day long in China with this giant rock tumbler. And you can do these specialized rock orders and you can get scoops of shiny special rocks in different shapes. And I love it. I'm obsessed with watching it.
Oh, I got to find that. See,
I'll send it to you.
TikTok doesn't know me enough because I don't know who I am on TikTok enough. You know what I mean? Because
they cast in too wide a net.
I'm also just like, hey guys, it's me. I've got a book coming out.
Oh my God.
Or I do something with my personality and sometimes it takes off and sometimes it tanks. And when it tanks, I'm like, well, I'm never doing my personality again.
I love your personality one, though. You're so good.
I gotta just be consistent with it. But I feel like if I went and I searched out the things that I actually cared about, then TikTok would know me better. But I like
know me better, man.
Yeah, but like, do I want the algorithm to know me? Do I want them to have me? Everybody else has me. I might as well just let it. This is me talking to myself.
That's the late night thoughts that I have spiraling all by myself all the time. Like, do I unplug Alexa?
Hey, Google.
Yeah, she heard me.
I have an Alexa and a Google and they duel. And I like to write a little story for them about them dueling for dominance of the household, you know? But I've noticed that my Alexa is like always lit. You know, it's never dormant anymore. It's like always got the ring of truth happening.
Palantir,
and it kind of makes me think about aliens, because
look at you,
you know, frequencies that are going out, like we've created these little like orbs of tech that we just have in our house that send out frequencies to space, to satellites. We're sending out so many things to space, you know, and then a lot of my dreams feel very alien. Like, not that I'm being abducted and probed or whatever. I would hope that I would know was probed. Right. Like, come on. Can I just, like, know? I wish I knew the title of that book. I could just plug it in right here. But because of it, I'm like, are my dreams getting weirder because I have all these frequencies in my house and they're just trying to, like, get into my brain?
Yeah, you need a Shungite pyramid to protect you from. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Oh my God, we are meant to be friends. We need to be in each other's lives. Nobody else looked that up. Don't judge us.
Or do judge us and leave us a comment. We thrive on hate, okay? It's okay. I'll suck it all up.
Oh my God, yes. So aliens.
Yes.
You don't think you've been abducted, but you have strange dreams.
Yeah.
Do you believe in aliens and abductions?
Of course. I mean, I feel like you kind of have to be an idiot if you don't believe in aliens. And I do mean that with offense to anybody who doesn't believe in aliens. The Pentagon already revealed the fact that the aliens exist. We already have documented evidence. Now, if you're skeptical about abductions, I can agree because... once again, you think you're special enough to get abducted? All right, come on. But also, maybe you were. And that's the optimist and skeptic in me, once again, coming out and wanting to believe all the stories. Mm-hmm. I just think there's too much evidence that exists for anybody to deny that aliens exist. Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of people, because of the religion, don't want to. And I'm like, how does an alien affect your religion?
Interesting. I would like to talk more about that because I'm not connecting the dots.
Because a lot of people that are religious don't like to believe in ghosts. They don't like to believe in aliens. And now this is me coming from a very Catholic, Christian household. Like some of my family members would get offended if I talked about like ghosts and stuff, because the soul is never supposed to linger. It's always supposed to be welcomed into heaven. So the idea that there's souls lingering or caught in the in-between is something that makes them uncomfortable as an option, because they don't, heaven is their carrot, right? So they don't want that to be a possibility. And so the talk of ghosts is evil.
Got you.
And so
demons, spirits, hell.
Right. So demons, okay, we can believe in demons because, you know, that's why people do bad things. Okay. It's all the demons. Okay. So that's why that's what they tend to believe.
I know.
Yeah. You're like, yeah.
I know that's not what you believe.
I know. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I sounding like too flat right
no,
now?
No.
But aliens is of similar nature because
okay.
God created Earth, right? Some people will take science. So some people will take science and Christianity and put it as like common sense, which is like something I appreciate. Like you can believe in like a deity having power in a universe sense, Big Bang, right? Like God sneezed and look, all the planets happened, yeah. Right? Like there's things that can kind of line up with science and religion and they can mesh really easily. But some really devout people of various religions, when they hear about aliens, are like, this is an attack on what I believe, because if aliens exist, it somehow threatens the God's power.
Interesting. Pardon me.
Everybody in my family believes in dinosaurs. I'm going to say that. Okay.
That tracks. No shade to those of you that don't.
I mean, a little.
Get in the comments. So I grew up, this is interesting. I grew up, my dad was super Catholic, but my mom was super out there.
Okay.
Like woo-woo. But like to the maximum.
Like love spiritual. Aliens. Like, no. Okay, no. Okay. All right.
Nope. New age, weird stuff. Aliens.
Okay.
So I grew up in a little microcosm where both of those things very much were real and existed for me side by side, and they were not mutually exclusive. So you taking me down that path.
I love that. Cool. That's like a cool perspective to have. So your dad was all completely with alien too, like.
Yeah, he was cool with it. I don't think he had like an opinion, but he understood like my mom's perspective.
That's cool. I like hearing that. I like it when people have dueling theories, right? And coexist and discuss in an intelligent way, right? Yeah, we love that.
You said that you watched X-Files, and that might be like the extent of your alien exposure, perhaps.
Fourth Kind, loved that movie, The Fourth Kind. Did you watch that?
No.
Okay. You got to watch it.
Okay.
Because it is scary, but also very informative. Because it's based on, I'm pretty sure it's based on a true story. I'm pretty sure. Are you, fact check me, because maybe I'm just gullible like I am.
No.
But I'm pretty sure in the opening credits it says based on like a psychologist's or somebody's actual experience.
Yeah.
They play the tapes. You would love it. You'd love everything about it. I just know it.
Plus, Mila Jovovich.
I love her. Yeah.
Left-handed Sagittarius.
Oh my God. Okay. In my youth, I was told because I think it's the eyes, similar brow and eyes. People would say that we looked similar.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, if you do this. And that's fine. I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get. Give me the scraps of every beautiful person. Smash them together.
We're collages of people. Everybody's a different collage of traits.
Oh.
She is the coolest. Fifth element.
Mm.
Another cool.
Yeah.
Although she's the alien in that, so a little different.
The perfect woman.
Yeah. I guess it is problematic. Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while.
See, there, of course, there's a lot of problematic tropes all throughout everything cool, you know? But
I know. But
at the same time, I'm not saying it's okay to be problematic. I am saying there's a spectrum of problematic to be, though. And the fifth element has such a great cast of people. And the
great vibe overall.
Yeah, and the storyline, it's like, it pokes fun at she's the perfect woman. Like, it almost pokes fun at that trope.
Yeah.
If you're intellectual about it. If you're not intellectual about it, which people seem to hate, like, to be, then everything is just hunky-dory and cool and surface level and whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, X-Files.
X-Files has two agents investigating inexplicable phenomena. I feel like that's the broadest way we could talk about it. But they're always, Mulder is always looking for aliens, believes in aliens.
Yeah.
All the weird shit. Which type are you? You hold these contradictions.
I know.
And before we get into some of these stories, I'd like to know which side of the fence, what role will you play today?
I think I'll probably be like a Scully because I think she's open to paranormal stuff, but she wants the evidence to be brought to her, right? Like she wants it to be crystal clear. And it not be, like, she doesn't have faith, right? Where Mulder is all about the faith of it all, right? Like, he just believes. And I love that for him, you know? I love that he doesn't feel like it's a demotion to work on the X-Files. I love that he feels like this is where he needs to be. But as a Scully, if I was working these cases and then all of a sudden I'm working with this guy who just talks about aliens, I'm going to think I'm a caretaker out of nowhere all of a sudden. But luckily he's hot, so it's okay.
He's so hot.
And maybe that helps you believe him more. I don't know.
Yeah. Not her, though.
No.
She's also a stone cold fox. She's not fallen for his
trait,
the tricks of his trade.
Both of them. Oh, I don't know anybody had any other crushes, honestly.
Good job, 90s.
I know. So good. Okay, so what would you be? Who would you be?
For sure, Fox Mulder.
Okay.
But, you know, I think everybody's a combo wombo, to use your favorite idiom that I've now picked up in my real life. And I think that's the best place to be. But no, hardcore believer, I think all of the weird shit exists, even the weird shit we don't know about.
Yeah. So if it was a broad stroke, I think maybe I'm just fearful of saying I believe in everything and anything, you know? But
yeah, you don't want to have the wool pulled over your eyes.
Right, right. Because I'm so naturally gullible. And I'm so naturally wanting to believe that, like, people are always going to do the best they're capable of doing and stuff like that. I want to believe that. We know that I'm cynical, but we also know that I'm a baby sometimes about the world. So it's a weird space. It's a Pisces space to live in, you know? So it's just kind of like what I deal with, but you know I'm delusional. So you know, like, I want to believe in magic. I want to believe in, like, conspiracy theories. And I definitely believe in aliens. But coming into this, I have to put my guard up because I've been burned so many times, right? Okay. It's okay. So take me in.
So I have bad news for you. We're growing short on time today, and you haven't watched Hellier. I have a proposal for you.
Okay.
Because these are going to interplay actually quite nicely, and it might be fun. Maybe, maybe not. Who the hell knows? We have two listeners anyway. Might be fun for the listeners to watch you kind of like come through your own initiation through all this weirdness. Because Hellier, we're talking about like history and stuff like that. Hellier actually draws upon like some real alleged events that have happened in pop culture in real life, right? And so it might be cool to talk about any of those pieces as you're coming across them. Because I was going to talk a little bit about from the 60s, Betty and Barney Hill. Another UFO encounter. They were also the first interracial abductee story.
I think I've heard of this one.
I bet. Yeah. Like, definitely very well known. So I thought that that was like a really cool place to start.
Didn't American Horror Story do?
Maybe. I'm not that well versed in American Horror Story, though it seems right up my alley.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll put a pin in that part of it because I'll double check. Because I'm pretty sure. They at least,
like, yeah, every long running TV show probably has paid some homage to Betty and Barney.
Yeah.
What else can I prep you for just for like subject matter as you're getting into Hellier? Mothman.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Prophecies. Book? Movie? Or just familiar with it? What exposure level do you have to Mothman?
I am familiar with it. I have the skin on video games for Mothman.
Shut up. I love it.
But I don't know the lore. So, okay. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. We can talk a little bit about that. That definitely pops up.
Oh, okay.
In Hellier. Yeah, we'll be talking about a lot of that. I'll watch Fourth Kind.
Yes. I'm going to rewatch Fourth Kind.
Nice. We can come into it with fresh eyes. This is my proposal. Next week. And then you don't have to prep too much either. You just have to binge watch some stuff.
Oh, no. What am I going to do at 3 a.m.? Oh, my gosh. 3 a.m. Not only did I see the demonic freaking movie trailer, but I also, my power cut off in the middle of the show I was watching. And this snapped back on. And it was like, and I was like, I'm being haunted. And now.
What's it called? Demonic?
I don't know what it's called. It had, it just had a demonic child in it. Like, you know,
gotcha.
I don't know. It's that chick from Ozark that I really love.
Brittany?
Blonde with like curly hair. Yeah.
Yes, love her.
She's so good. Such a great actress. Great voice actress.
Ruth,
yes.
That's the character name. Yeah.
She's in it. And so I was like, oh.
Dark hair.
Maybe.
In it.
I don't know. She's been in a couple recently. I have to look at it again. I honestly, it was 2 seconds of my life. I turned on the TV prepping to like talk to it to say Hulu. And then it was like, it all starts here, or it's just the beginning. And it's like a demonic child in the back of a classroom.
Ew.
And I was like, I didn't need to see this at 3 a.m.
That's your lived experience.
Yeah. Too real.
Oh, my God. Yeah, very scary. So I have one more question before we toss it to the audience.
All right.
Peace the F out. You listen to any of the Gateway tapes?
No, I need a link. I typed in Gateway tapes and I got like the cow.
I'm going to invite you on Discord.
Okay.
Okay. You are being initiated. I hope you can handle it.
We'll see. Remember how I am now, everybody.
Blame it on me. And then the last thing. So I guess we did say to put things that you hate, but if you followed with us this far, it might be cool if we hear from you about your own alien abduction stories or anything like that.
Yeah, send in your
alien recommends.
Alien stuff, what to watch, paranormal. Send it in. There's like a cool website.
Yeah, the Congress. The declassification of the UAP paper. Oh, my God.
We are getting blackbagged.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. We have to go. I'm about to get blackbagged. I'll see you next time.
Fuck!